Well, first of all, thank you so much for inviting me here. Just for the brief time that I was here and witnessing the beginning of your service, I have to tell you, Tom Paine would feel very comfortable here. In fact, the stuff that you kind of take for granted now was the very stuff that got him into so much trouble. But my intention wasn't really to focus on Tom Paine. If I were doing that completely, then I would be doing songs that he wrote and songs that inspired him. But instead, I'm doing something about the promise of America, admittedly mostly through the eyes of Tom Paine. And then I see that in your program, you've got an awful lot already written here about Tom Paine. So how we start off, here's a good way. God keep America free from tyrannic sway, till time shall cease. Hushed be the din of arms and all proud war's alarms. Follow in all her charms, heaven born peace. That's the song God Keep America, as Tom Paine would have known it back in the day. Is Tom Paine, the fellow who wrote Common Sense. It tells you in your program that he never earned a penny from that Common Sense, which was at that point in time the most published work ever. The reason he didn't get money for it, he turned it down. In fact, he donated all the proceeds from that publication to the Continental Army, specifically to buy socks. He believed it was improper to enrich oneself in the pursuit of the rights of man. So Tom Paine, an enemy of tyranny, and a friend of man. And most of what we now consider to be American in our beliefs really came from the pen of Tom Paine. As I went walking that ribbon of highway, I saw above me that endless skyway, and far below me that golden valley. Here we go. This land was made for you and me, Unitarians sing. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, singing. This land was made for you and me. I roamed, I rambled, and I followed my footsteps to the sparkling sands of her diamond deserts. Well, all around me a voice was sounding, singing. This land was made for you and me. Come on, harmonies. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me. The sun came shining as I was strolling, the wheat fields waving and the dust clouds rolling. A fog was lifting, a voice was chanting. This land was made for you and me. Here we go again. This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me. The words of pain. When my poor are happy, my jails are empty of prisoners, my streets of beggars, the aged are not in want, the taxes are not oppressive. The rational world is my friend because I am a friend of happiness. When these things can be said, then may our country boast of its Constitution and its government. By the shadow of the steeple, I've seen my people. By the relief office, I've seen my people. And some were hungry, and some were wondering, is this land made for you and me? Nobody living can ever stop me as I go walking that freedom highway. Nobody living can ever make me turn back, 'cause this land is made for you and me. Last time, this land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, singing, this land was made for you and me. Tom Paine, American Populism, thought, it's interesting, Tom Paine, and I was reading about Universalists, you came from the same seed, the same origins. You came from the age of enlightenment, the age of reason. Tom Paine. Now, our concepts of liberty and freedom, what I'm going to do is just a little bit of a kaleidoscope of songs, because I could go on all day with the promise of America through all different kinds of songs. But let's try one from before Tom Paine came to these shores. Francis Hopkinson, 1759. Francis Hopkinson ended up being our first Secretary of Navy. He was a close friend of George Washington's. And here's what he wrote, very mid-18th century. My days have been so wondrous free. The little birds that fly with careless ease from tree to tree were but as blessed as I, were but as blessed as I. Ask the gliding waters if a tear of mine increased their stream, and ask the breathing gale if ever I lent a sigh to them. If I lent a sigh to them. My days have been so wondrous free. But then we can digress. Well, actually, just about that same time that song was being written, there were a group of folks in London who fancied themselves better than everybody else. And to demonstrate their superiority, they would dress outrageously. Sounds a little familiar. And included in this would be incredible hairdos, piled a good foot and a half high. They didn't have stiff stuff hair straight back then, so they used flour and water. It worked well. Unless you were caught in a rainstorm, then the sun could come out and it would get hot, and baking hot. So what you do is you just keep, as it's baking up there, just keep adding more flour to keep it white. And on top of that, there'd be a little tiny three-cornered hat. It was important that the hat was tiny because that made the appearance of the dew so much larger. I mean, we're talking major big hair here. But the most important ingredient sprang from the top of the hat, mounds and mounds and more mounds of feathers. In fact, so high that you had to be careful going through doors, and some people literally had servants with poles attached to the top of their heads holding the whole thing up as they would walk around. Those were the really rich folk. They did not call this style of dress punk or grunge or neo-grunge or hippie. No, they called this style of dress because these people had embraced this new food that was coming in from the continent, all these pasta dishes. So they called them macaronis. Then you get Tom Finch, who is a captain in the American militia from the French and Indian War, we're talking, and he's called off with his men to help fight the French and the Indians, and his wife takes a look at all the men, and they're all just farmers and things. They're going out into the wilderness. They're not going to wear their Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. My wife made me dress like this. She said, "You've got to be dressed like a troubadour." And I said, "Hun, I'm going to be at the Universalist. I can be in jeans and a..." But at any rate, Tom Finch's cavalry were just... Well, they looked like a bunch of bums. So she gives them all these feathers to stick in her hat so that at least they would have plumes, you know, cavalry plumes. Actually, what they were chicken feathers she got from the hen coops in the back of the yard. And they ride Fort Crelo. There's this British Army surgeon, Dr. Richard Schuckberg. He's attached to the general staff. He sees this motley crew riding in with feathers poking out every which way, starts laughing, slaps his thigh, and is heard to exclaim, "Stab my vitals if they ain't macaronis." Whereupon he puts pen to paper and he comes up with "If Yankees you would have a song, a deuced nation fine one, in the chorus all along, I guess you'd like to join one. Yankee Doodle all the way, let's keep that chorus handy. Some can sing and all can say, Yankee Doodle dandy. And now of what them might befall, why they nothing were afraid, and so took their wives and children all, hush, they pushed for Leyden. Yankee Doodle Holloway, let's keep that chorus handy. Some can sing, but all can say, Yankee Doodle dandy. Well, there they got a monster ship as big as any gunboat, Mayflower, all to fit her for the trip, I guess was neatly done to it. Yankee Doodle haul aboard, pipe out the boats and handy. Young and old struck up and roared, Yankee Doodle dandy. But then a dreadful storm arose, and a dangerous case they stood in. And rain and hail and sleet and snow fell thick as hasty pudding. Foul or fair were stout and strong, and all good works were handy. Join the chorus and the song of Yankee Doodle Dandy. Sons of freedom gathered around, the hostile foe confounded. Oh, when the redcoats they had turned their back, They found the Yankees had them all surrounded, 'cause here's what became of the song. The father and I went to camp along with Captain Gooden, and there we saw the men and boys as thick as hasty pudding. There was General Washington upon a snow-white stallion, giving orders to his men. Well, I guess there was a million. Or if you were Yankees, you really didn't care for General Washington and the Virginia aristocracy. You were singing, well, there goes General Washington upon a snow-white charger. He looks as big as all outdoors and thinks himself much larger. Yankee Doodle, keep it up, Yankee Doodle Dandy. Mind the music and the step, or with the girls be handy. And every day for many a week, beginning with each Monday, we watched and worked and fought like Greeks and went to church on Sunday. Yankee Doodle, heroes great, and all good works are handy. Peace and war and church and state were Yankee Doodle dandy. Yankee Doodle came to town riding on a pony, stuck a feather in his hat and called it boom. Okay. Whoop. It's all right, I'm not going to need it for the next one. Now, and that's a light one. That one's actually made in China. Now, let's see. That song doesn't tell too much about us, except that we're getting pretty darn cantankerous. But then Don asked for me to do a song for you, and it's pretty easy to work in, because the song, it's my sense of aesthetics that's making me put it back up again. The song was the unofficial marching song of the Continental Army. And like a lot of unofficial songs of the armies, I'll tell you right up front, it's about a prostitute. Lily Marley or Greensleeves. Yeah, that was a bawdy soldier song from the late Middle Ages, called Lady Greensleeves because her sleeves were always green from rolling in the grass. But now I've ruined that song for you. Tom Paine. Actually, it was his pen that really fanned a smoldering ember of a tax rebellion into a worldwide revolutionary inferno for justice and the rights of man. We owed him a lot. And this song here, which is actually a combination of two songs from the American Revolution, one side patriot, the other loyalist, because that was very much for us a civil war. We're talking the dark winter of 1776. The Continental Army's cornered. Supplies are run out. And we're pretty much defeated. Men are freezing, starving, sick and deserting, hopeless. But it's not over yet, because once again, Tom Paine, at the behest of Washington, put pen to paper and wrote what we now call the Crisis Papers. Using a field drum, in this case for a desk, and writing by campfire light, these are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. You hear the chorus on this song, you'll understand why it was so popular with the common soldiers. Beat to the long march. Little lully day, oh, the little till the old day. Oh, that I were where I would be, then would I be where I am not. But I am where I must be, where I'd be I cannot. Little lovely day, oh, the little old day. When first I came to town, they called me the Roven Jewel. Now they've changed their tune, they call me Katie Cruel. Little lily day, oh, the little old day. Oh, that I were where I would be, then would I be where I am not. But I am where I must be, where I be I cannot. Oh, little lovely day, oh, the little old day. Here I sit on Buttermilk Hill. Who could blame me, cry my fill? And every tear would turn a mill. Johnny has gone for a soldier. Oh, surely, surely, surely too. Broke my heart to see him go. And only death can cure my woe. Oh, Johnny has gone for a soldier. Through the woods I'll go, and through the bog and mire, straightway down the road till I come to my desire. Little lovely day, oh, the little old day. Oh, that I were where I would be, then would I be where I am not. But I am where I must be, where I'd be I cannot. Little lovely day, oh, the little old day. Gone the rainbow, gone the sun, gone the smile of my dear one. Gone with the rattle of a fife and drum. Oh, Johnny has gone for a soldier. Johnny has gone for a soldier. Oh, that I were where I would be, then would I be where I am not. But I am where I must be, where I'd be I cannot. Little lovely day, oh, the little old day. Little lovely day, oh, the little old day. And on, and on, and on. Yes, Tom Paine is probably our most, well, is definitely our most reviled of our founding fathers. And yet he is the one that held and really produced the spirit of what we are all about. My wife and I, walking through New York a few weeks ago, found the place where he died. It's a gay little piano bar right off of Sheridan Square. But boy, you know. They know. Tom Paine. Even his bones were lost. Nobody, no church would accept him to be buried there. So the fellow called William Cobbett, about 10 years after his death, this incredibly successful English financier and industrialist, who was an avid enemy of Paine, had almost like a Saul Paul conversion on the road to Damascus, and became his most ardent follower. And he wanted to gather his bones and bring them back to England and build a huge mausoleum as the focal point for what he figured was to be the coming world revolution for the rights of man. But one thing happened after another. He lost his fortune. He, in some ways, lost his mind. And he misplaced Tom Paine's bones. People are still searching. You can find it on the web. In fact, they think they may have found some. He was so reviled that some of the English aristocracy liked to boast that their buttons were made from his rib bones. An English bishop had his hand on his mantle, his skeleton hand, Tom Paine's bones. As I dreamed out one evening by a river of discontent, well, I bummed right into old Tom Paine, running down the road he went. He said, "I can't stop right now, my son. King George is after me. He'll have a rope around my throat. He'll hang me from the Liberty Tree. I will dance to Tom Paine's bones. I will dance to Tom Paine's bones. I will dance in the oldest boots I own to the rhythm of Tom Paine's bones. I will dance to Tom Paine's bones. I will dance to Tom Paine's bones. I will dance in the oldest boots I own to the rhythm of Tom Paine's bones." Well, I only talked about freedom, justice for everyone, but since the very first word I spoke, I've been looking down the barrel of a gun. They said I preach revolution. Let me say in my defense that all I did wherever I went was to talk a lot of common sense. I will dance to Tom Paine's bones. I will dance to Tom Paine's bones. I will dance in the oldest boots I own to the rhythm of Tom Paine's bones. Now old Tom Paine, he ran so fast, he left me standing still. Oh, there I was, a piece of paper in my hand, standing at the top of the hill. It said, "This is the age of reason. These are the rights of man. You kick off religion and monarchy. It's written in Tom Paine's plan. I will dance to Tom Paine's bones. I will dance to Tom Paine's bones. I will dance in the oldest boots I own to the rhythm of Tom Paine's bones. Now old Tom Paine, there he lies. Oh, nobody laughs and nobody cries. And where he lies and how he fares, nobody knows and nobody cares. But I do. I will dance to Tom Paine's bones. I will dance to Tom Paine's bones. I will dance in the oldest boots I own to the rhythm of Tom Paine's bones. I will dance to Tom Paine's bones. I will dance to Tom Paine's bones. I will dance in the oldest boots I own to the rhythm of Tom Paine's bones." Tom Paine's bones. Well, you probably heard that we pretty much won that Revolutionary War. Then we got involved in the Age of Reason. We came out of the Age of Reason. We got involved in what historians now call the Heroic Age, when our concept of liberty and freedom started to shift a bit. It seemed to embrace conquest and the right to make as much money as you possibly can, regardless of anybody else. And the Industrial Revolution. Remember that guy, Francis Hopkinson? "My days have been so wondrous free." His son, Joseph Hopkinson, 1798. This is the song that Lincoln remembers having as a boy to stand up and take off his hat to. Hail Columbia, happy land. Hail ye heroes, heaven-born band, who fought and bled in freedom's cause, who fought and bled in freedom's cause. And when the war, of war was o'er, enjoyed the peace their valor won. Let independence be your boast, ever mindful of the cost, ever grateful for the prize, may your altar reach the skies. Firm, united, let us stand, rallying round our liberty as a band of brothers joined. Peace and safety we shall find. Peace and safety we shall find. See, things have started to take a little bit of a drift. But then, wonderful expanse of an open new world for this young nation. And a song began to embody some of the dreams of this young nation. Same time, right about 1800, you get, in fact, the phrase the people would use was, across the wide Missouri, unlimited opportunities. Oh, Shenandoah, I long to hear you. Oh, rolling river. Oh, Shenandoah, I long to see you. Away, we're bound. Across the wide Missouri. Missouri River was over 3,000 miles long, still is. It's actually somewhat longer than the Mississippi. And way back then, you could take a steamboat, that's true, a steamboat in the early 1800s, down the Ohio, a quick right turn on the Mississippi, then a quick left turn on the Missouri, and follow those muddy, meandering curves until you found yourself deep in the Rocky Mountains of Montana in the same boat. You cannot do that anymore thanks to progress and the ever-busy Army Corps of Engineers. But it was out of this valley that the French voyagers carried their traded Indian wares and the Métis, too, down to the seaport city of New Orleans. American sailors picked up on the songs and used them for raising sail and raising anchor, in this case, outward bound. So that's how a song born deep in the heartland of this continent, by the very early 1800s, could be heard echoing across the far exotic harbors of Canton, Shanghai, Calcutta, the old ports of Europe. A beautiful gift to the old world from a brave new land. Farewell, my love, I'm bound to leave you. Oh, rolling river. Oh, Shenandoah, I'll not deceive you. Away, we're bound. Across the wide Missouri, across the wide Missouri. But then the songs would start reflecting a fatal flaw in this land of opportunity and freedom. Tom Paine was not invited to the convention for the Constitution because his friends and associates knew that he could not be trusted to betray his own principles. What I'm talking about? Ho, Emma, ho, you turn around to dig a hole in the ground. Ho, Emma, ho, master, he be a hard, hard man. Ho, Emma, ho, you turn around to dig a hole in the ground. Ho, Emma, ho. Gonna jump down, turn around, pick a bale of cotton. Gonna jump down, turn around, pick a bale of day. Jump down, turn around, pick a bale of cotton. Gonna jump down, turn around, pick a bale of day. Pick a bale of day, pick a bale of cotton. If I had time, I'd do that beautiful song of my old Kentucky home. You got to do it with the word darky in it, otherwise it strips it of its spiritual meaning. Because what that song is about is a man being sold away from his family, quite literally down the river, that's where the term comes from, into the sugar plantation systems of the Deep South, where an American slave had a life expectancy of less than 2 years. And we know that that flaw in our thinking, 200 some odd years ago, still haunts us and puts us in jeopardy to this day. I'm going to close up with what I consider to be one of the greatest protest songs, populist protest songs of this land of ours, this country. It was put together right around the turn of the last century. It's actually one of the best indications of what I think being an American is all about. And it does come to us from a time when it looked like we were in serious danger of losing this democracy of ours. Basically through greed, giant corporations had taken over everything, and our government seemed to be held hostage. Sounds a little familiar. A lady puts pen to paper, and then the population, within a month of the publication of this poem, sets it to a tune that was only a few years old, also American, Bible tune, written by a guy called Samuel Ward. And of course, the lady who wrote this beautiful protest song, Catherine Lee Bates. Oh, beautiful, for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains' majesty, above the fruited plain, America, America. God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Tom Paine wrote, should fair America fall, ah, painful thought, the noblest work of human wisdom, the grandest scene of human glory, the fair cause of freedom, shall fall. Oh, beautiful for pilgrims' feet, whose stern impassioned stress a thoroughfare for freedom be, across the wilderness. America, America, confirm thy soul in self-control. Thy liberty in law. The true greatness of a nation is founded on the principles of humanity. Oh, beautiful for heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than self their country loved, and mercy more than life. America, America, may God thy gold refine, till all success be nobleness and every gain divine. She actually messed around with that last, that verse right there a little bit. When she was up on Pike's Peak, the way she finished that verse off was, America, America, God shed his grace on thee, till selfish greed no longer stain the banner of the free. Then she finishes up, and who? I don't care if you're major right wing, left wing, or all the stuff in between. You'll have a hard time if you're an American picking a fight with this. Oh, beautiful for patriot streams that sees beyond the years, thine alabaster cities gleam, undimmed by human tears. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood. From sea to shining sea, in all the terrible ways we treated Tom Paine, he still wrote, the sun never shined on a cause of greater worth. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.